he listening?
Good morning to you all. Good to be with you, and looking forward to our studying together from God's Word. And again, I hope that you were encouraged by the thoughts that brought forth this morning in our Bible class. And I basically want to piggyback off of that into our next segment of studies this morning, and the lesson concerning this whole thought process of changing the way that we look at our relationship with God. And that's really what this is doing, and causing us to think in a way that sometimes we forget, and also to encourage those who are outside of Christ to look at us who are in Christ, and not only look at us who are in Christ, but to realize that they can become whatever God intends for them to be. That as long as they are alive, it is not hopeless, but hopeful. Because of what sin has done, and as we talked about, shattering lives, and bringing those pieces, and then God making us vessels of honor and beauty, of looking at how the scriptures describe those in Christ Jesus. Appreciate the Morgan reading those passages in Ephesians chapter 2 concerning being saved by grace. But notice the following passages as well in Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. Now, in verse 10, at the end of verse 10, those works that God has created us that we might do them expresses something else in that as well. It expresses that we are capable of doing them. A lot of times we think, or we have been deceived into thinking, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. God says, you're capable of doing them. I've made you that way. I made you capable of doing these good things. And so we need to take confidence in that. And as we take confidence in those things, it will help us to see who we are and what we are about. And so in verse 11, he says, therefore, remember that previously you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, notice that, but now in Christ Jesus, you who previously were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. When we slow down and we look at the wording of these things, it exudes confidence. And that confidence is not in ourselves, but in God to make us or to develop us to be what he intends for us to be. So it exudes that. And for us to think otherwise really is expressing a lack of trust and faith in God and what he is capable of and what he's able and capable of doing to us, not only for us, but to us. And Paul is writing this to the Ephesian brethren. And if you really think about the brethren at Ephesus, coming from all walks of life, coming from various backgrounds, destroyed families, and in themselves, those who participated in the pagan worship destroyed by the paganism. And the kinds of thoughts and degrading things that they put people through in order to sacrifice or worship their gods. God is saying that I'm able to make you better. I'm able to repair you. And so as we are going through life, remember, sin is trying to destroy us. Sin is trying to remind us of, you know, you were broken and you're still broken. That's what it does. And it creates this doubt in us. But when you look at the scriptures, we have to remember who we are. We have to do that. Because in the things that God says, it helps us to realize, or the voice, as I said in our Bible class, the voice of God becomes louder. When we do that, and he conquers our souls as we willingly hand these things over to them, because we take great confidence, great hope in what God has done to us. And so we need to remember those things. So let's begin to look at a few passages. Well, there's a lot of passages that talk about these things. But we're going to look at a few, and we're not going to even scratch the surface. But this is to put you on that course. So as you're studying God's word, you're looking at what God is saying to these Christians as these things were written, that they will be beneficial for us in our modern times because they still stand firm. They still are true. And they should become the foundation upon which we stand. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Now, when you look back in the first letter of what Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, chapter 6, if you're familiar with chapter 6, remember he said, such were some of you, and he listed all those degrading sins. And you could even go back to Romans chapter 1 and look at those degrading sins there, and beginning at verse 18 and following. And then those who would participate in those things are worthy of death. And so here in chapter 5, to the brethren at Corinth, he is reminding them, number one, of what God has made and done to him, and they should be reminded of what he has done for and to them. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is, notice, a new creation. He's a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them. And he committed to us the word of reconciliation. I want you to notice those things that are mentioned there in these passages. Who are we? Who is he telling the Corinthians that they are, as well as himself? And that is a new creation. Reconciled to God. We're made friends to God. We were enemies, but now we've reconciled. We're back in this relationship because of Christ Jesus. So, when the world, or when sin, and bringing its doubt with it, is trying to beat you down and ask you, is it worth it? Remember that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that the old things have passed away. Those things that you did in the past and that you've been forgiven, they've passed away. Let them go. Let them go. And it will try to raise its ugly head towards you and try to beat you down. No, let it go. It's in the past. You, this new creation, and now you're moving forward in life. And these new things have come. And the more we study the Word of God, and the more we apply His principles in our lives and move forward, we start to see them. And it should renew the man, the inner man, daily. Each day, whether, as we say, spring, summer, winter, or fall, we should be reminded of these good things. I've even gotten to the point now when there is a, even though it's a challenge when you get a lot of snow on the ground, what you think about this? In some places, they got over 2 feet of snow. Wow, that's a lot of snow, isn't it? And here's how I start thinking about it now. I said, yeah, it's a challenge to have to dig out. But you know what the blessing is about that? The summer, the spring and summer, the bug population is down. You get to sit outside and you get to enjoy the fresh air instead of having to do this all the time. You see, why is that? Because we start to look at things differently. This is the new creation. And as you are, the thought process changes and you remember who you are, that you are reconciled to God, that you are now on His side because of Christ Jesus, should give you great courage to continue on in life. And yes, there are things that happen to our bodies as we're getting older, the sickness and so forth, as that should cause us to now begin to look forward to that new body, which none of the sickness impacts at all. It's not even there. But that's what life does to us, and we have to remember these things. It helps us through those challenges, those times of loneliness that may creep in. Remember who you are. I'm a new creation. I'm on God's side. That helps to realize that there is one right there with you, that God is there, that you have this great relationship with Him. Let's look at a few more passages. Let's go up to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. As Paul continues to write to these brethren, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Notice the wording. We overlook these things sometimes. "Who has blessed us." If anyone who had, we would say, you know, it was a right to complain, Paul did, but he doesn't. Even as he is a prisoner for the cause of Christ, he suffered tremendous things. And I imagine that Paul probably thought about, I don't deserve this because I persecuted his people, but now I'm a child of his. I am this new creation. And so he blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as, notice, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy, blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoptions as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It pleased God to do this. It pleased Him to do that. Isn't that great? That it pleased God to do this to us and for us. the good pleasure of his will. And so you look at other passages like 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. As John writes to the Christians there who are being, as you say, they're being deceived into thinking that only the elites have this relationship with God. And you guys, you got to come through us in order to have this relationship with God, because God is so far removed that you cannot have contact with him because you are sinful. That's what these elites did. And so John is writing, and John is saying, don't believe that. Don't believe it. They're trying to take you captive. That's what they're trying to do. Understand, because of Christ Jesus, you have a direct relationship with him. And so he points out, see how great a love the Father has bestowed or given to us, that we would be called what? Children of God. Children of God. Back in Ephesians, adopted as sons and daughters. But in 1 John 3, verse 1, children of God. And in fact, we are, for this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. He's repeating that. He's driving it home. That's why you have a lot of repetition, to drive the point home, that it hits the heart some way or another. You may not get it the first time, but hoping that you get it the second time. And if needs be, a third time. Penetrating the granite wall of sin. Penetrating the granite wall of doubt. You are a child of God when you obey the gospel of Christ. Now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. That should give us tremendous hope. If we believe God, it should instill in our hearts and our minds that we're going to be like him. And so you are looking at these passages, and they're clearly pointing out to us these things. Here is another one in reference to, for you have not, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Remember when I said about chapter 1, the list of the degradation, the reprobate mindset that God gave them over because they had given up on him. And hopefully by the preaching of the gospel that they see this and that they will return. So then you get to chapter 8, verse 15. And notice, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughter, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. I mean, just a mouthful there. Again, there is that children of God. That would be impactful for those who were in that list of degradation that's mentioned in chapter 1, now to be recognized as children of God by the blood of Christ, by the blood of Christ, and then be an heir, and then a, not only an heir, but a fellow heir with Christ. Wow. So, who are we? We are not only the new creation reconciled to God, but we're chosen of God because of Christ. In Christ, we're chosen. In fact, this is where God would do the choosing.
One has to be in Christ Jesus. So we're God's chosen. God's chosen because of this. We are adopted children of God. And because we're adopted children of God, that has been mentioned over and over again, that means we're heirs. We have an inheritance. We are his heritage. And what God has promised is eternal life. You see that list? And as you're going, as you're going through those passages, you start to see more and more. And that's what they're there for. They're there for us to read and then learn from them to see who we are. So we have to remember those things. And the more we remember, the stronger we're going to become. And it's going to build this wall of strength around us and protect us from the evil one. And when the evil one tries to attack those areas of our lives, turn it up and look at them and allow it to reverberate in our minds. New creation. Reconciled to God. Yeah, I belong to him. And then as you continue to look at some of these things, here's a list of some other things here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Notice, but you are what? A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let me pause for a moment. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And as we do those good works, this is how we're proclaiming the excellencies of God. Look at what God can do to you. Look at what God can do for you. Look at how he has impacted my life. And now I'm a servant of his. A good example of that is if you look at Peter, very outspoken, always putting his foot in his mouth. But one thing I love about Peter, he gets up and he continues to follow in spite of that. And now God is using him to write letters to encourage Christians. Because sometimes we fall flat on our face. Get up. Continue to pursue God. That's what Peter is doing. And that's what he's encouraging these folks. And I wonder if Peter thought about these things as well in his life. You know, God's own possession. I belong to God. I belong to him. In spite of falling on my face, in spite of putting my foot in my mouth, God claims me. God does that. And that's how we proclaim his excellencies. And then verse 10, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Over and over again, we see these kinds of things in the scriptures. Now, this next passage is our theme this year at Mill Road is based upon these passages, and in particular verse 37 of Romans chapter 8. As Paul has listed, you know, the walking in the Spirit and following God, the intercession that is made on our behalf, in verse 37, he says, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. That's a powerful phrase. Our theme this year is more than conquerors. More than conquerors. That's how we are viewed. We overwhelmingly conquer when we submit ourselves to Christ. We allow these things and remember who we are to rule and reign in our lives. And we continue to follow the Lord. And as we're walking, we stumble and we catch ourselves and we get back on the narrow straight and narrow and continue to pursue. Learn and grow. And the thing is, who loved us? Wow. And Paul says in verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, depth, and any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a changed mentality. That's changed mentality. And as we look at those passages, it should encourage us. So from what we've looked at thus far, look at all those things that are in those passages of who we are. Look at them. That's impressive. And I haven't even scratched the surface. But this is a reminder for us. Yeah. I'm blown away. Let alone the things like, you know, disciples. Friends. There, again, saints. Kingdom of God. Servants. Brethren. Workmanship. Righteous. My challenge to you is this. As you're studying the scriptures, look at other things that the scripture mentions about who we are. It's going to change the way that you look at them and cause us, when I say change, in other words, enhance and reveal to us of who we are to provide us with the strength to serve an awesome God. That we can take that with us and not be ashamed of it. And I am so encouraged about so many people that are expressing the goodness and greatness of our God and what God has been doing to them. My prayer is if they have not obeyed the gospel, to encourage them to do so. So that they can truly be right with God. Because these things are there. They're all over the scriptures. And when we see them, say, wow, that is what God has done to me and for me. Because that's what the apostles is writing, wrote these letters to remind the Christians of who they are. And so I want to conclude with these thoughts here. First of all, our value is not based on an achievements, but simply being faithful to God. Value. We exclusively belong to God in Him as where we find our sense of belonging. We exclusively belong to Him. And that's where we find our belonging, our true belonging. And third, let us not listen to the world's definition of us, but listen to God who tells us who we are in Him, and then let that be enough. We've allowed the world to define us, and we've allowed the world to beat us down with it. No, listen to what God says and how God describes us, and let that be enough. To overcome the voice of the world, to overcome the sin that wants to creep back into our lives. Let that be enough, what God says and how God defines us. And when we do that, we're going to be the people that God intends for us to be. We're going to be more than conquerors. We're going to overwhelmingly conquer because of the one to whom we serve. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our God, thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for your love, showing us who you are and revealing to us who we are as we serve you, as we are in you, and as we allow you to work in our lives to conform us to your will, to take every thought and motive under your captivity. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to grow in this grace and knowledge that you've provided. Help us to share it with others, to encourage those whose lives have been broken by sin, but knowing that if they put their trust in you, that they can be made whole. Thank you for these lessons. Thank you for the brethren here, and bless them, and bless the souls that are still struggling, that we can help them to come to know you as the true and living God. Be with us as we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are not a child of God, you can become one. Yeah. And you can only become one by being in Christ. And that's what was pointed out to us. By being in Christ, that means we put our faith in God's salvation system. We put our trust in God's grace. And that grace is expressed in the coming of Christ, the death of Christ on the cross for our sins. And then the hope of the Christ when he was buried and then raised from the dead. When we emulate that, when we are baptized into Christ with our faith and answering God with a good conscience, crying out to him, "We trust you that you will save me." And then we are immersed in water. Because of our faith in Christ, we come in contact with the blood, we are forgiven, and then we're raised from that water, a new creation. All of those things that we listed and more. We just only had enough time to do these things here. So I hope that it encourages you, if you're not in him, to be in him. And if you were wavering, teetering, I hope that it stabilizes you to stand firm in Christ Jesus and be all those things that he points out that we are because of that hope. And so if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we encourage you to come and make it known. As we stand and sing, I think that's how it goes. As we stand and sing.